Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter in his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true! The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Have you ever had one of those days that you'll never forget? I'm talking about one of those days that will be forever etched in your memory. Oh, pardon me, my name is Cleopas. You probably haven't heard of me. I don't have one of the most recognizable names of Scripture. I don't have a book with my name on it, and I don't have a letter that's been published in the Bible. But I was one of the first that got to see the resurrected Jesus. That's what made my day the most memorable day ever. I was there that morning when the women came. They came up to the room where the disciples and some of the other Jesus followers were there. And they told us about how they had gone to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus, but that it was gone. It was gone. And they told us this story about how the angels had come and told them that Jesus was alive, but we weren't sure. I didn't know if we could believe them or not. A couple of the disciples went. Peter was one of them. They went to the tomb to see, and they found it just as the women said. The tomb was empty, but there was no Jesus. Everything that had gone on over those days and even up to that point was discouraging. We were very confused and we were struggling. My friend and I, we decided that we would head on back to Emmaus. And as we walked along the road, we continued to discuss all these things that had happened and just about how we were just really confused about it all. We were really down. We were really discouraged. And As we walked along, there came another man, a stranger behind us, traveling what appeared to be from Jerusalem as well. And he came in stride with us and walked along and just really listened to what we had to say. And we were talking about all of those things. And finally, he said, "What is this that you're talking about?" Of course, I was like, "Is this guy from another planet? I mean, I said, brother, are you just passing through Jerusalem? How in the world could you not know all the things that have happened over the last few days?" And he said, "What things?" And so I began to tell him about Jesus. I told him about how Jesus was a mighty man of God and how when he taught the word, he taught as one who had authority. Something special about Jesus. When he was teaching throughout the region, and he would heal people. I mean, blind people, they could see again. Crippled people could walk again. People who had sores and leprosy were completely healed. And then I told this man about the day that he was teaching, Jesus was teaching, and all these people, thousands of people, had gathered to hear Jesus teach, and it became time to eat, and there was nothing to eat, and all the disciples could find was just a little boy and a basket of fish, but Jesus took it and fed thousands of people. Not only that, there was leftovers. And get this, I told the man, he did it again not too long after. Did the same thing. Oh, I told the man about the day that Jesus found out his friend Lazarus was sick and even had died, and he got there and there were people weeping, and all of a sudden said Jesus just hollered out, "Lazarus, come out!" And Lazarus, who was once dead and still in his grave clothes, just came walking out of the tomb. Then there was just a few days earlier that Jesus had entered Jerusalem. He was riding on a donkey, and people were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna!" And they were laying palm branches on the ground and their cloaks, and they were laying them down. And Jesus, it was a triumphant entry into Jerusalem that day. Oh, but how things change. Because no sooner were they crying, "Hosanna," they began to cry, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" We told this man about how our rulers and our chief priests had turned Jesus over to be arrested, and they turned Him over for trial, and they found Him guilty of what? It was a sham, and they began to beat Him and drag Him through the streets and spit on Him and mock Him, and then they nailed Him to the cross. It was horrible. They put the nails in His hands and in His feet, and they raised Him up between two common criminals. Jesus didn't deserve that. We told the man how we really thought that Jesus was the one. We really thought He was the Messiah. We really did. We thought that we had hoped that He was the one that was going to redeem Israel from this Roman tyranny. But that He was dead. He was dead. It had been 3 days since He was laid in the tomb. Just then, the stranger, that man, he looked at us, and you know what he said? He said, "Are you guys fools?" He called us fools. Can you believe that? We didn't even know who he was. And this stranger all of a sudden calling us fools. And he said, "Listen, did you not know? Do you not remember that the prophets have said that the Christ must suffer and then receive His glory?" And then, as we walked along, he told us all the scriptures. He began with Moses and he walked through the scriptures and he began to connect the dots for us about how throughout scripture, the word says all these things about the Messiah, and that this Messiah would be a suffering servant and that the Lord would lay the iniquity of us all upon Him. I didn't say anything to my friend, my traveling companion, but something was stirring within my heart as this man spoke. It was almost like my heart was burning within me. We got on into Emmaus. I mean, Emmaus is only about a 7-mile journey. I'm sure y'all walk that every day. It's about is the distance from here to, what do y'all call it, Conway? It's about a half day's journey. And we got to Emmaus, and we got to my house, and this man, he acted as though he was going to continue on, but we urged him to stay with us. And so he did. And we sat down in the house, and we made preparations for the meal, and this man, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and it was oddly familiar, but as he blessed it, he broke the bread. And when he handed it to us, I realized who it was. Our Jesus. He was alive. Jesus was alive, and he's right there. And as soon as we recognized him, he disappeared. But my Jesus was alive. My friend and I, we looked at each other, and it was almost like we both asked each other, did you notice? Did you know? We're like, no, but we both knew that something was special about this man. Our hearts were burning as we walked along and as he taught us, and we realized, yeah, it's late in the day, but we've got to get back and tell the others. So as fast as our little Jewish legs could take us, we headed back to Jerusalem. And there we found the others and the disciples and some of the others who also followed Jesus. And when we walked into the room, we could tell that there was something stirring among them. There was a level of excitement that wasn't there that morning. And we noticed there were conversations going on, but we found out, we asked, what happened? Jesus had also appeared to Simon Peter that day. And we're like, yes, brothers, that is true. Not only did he see Peter, but we saw him too as we walked to Emmaus and we broke bread together. And my friends, yes, it is true. Jesus is alive. He is alive. Our Jesus, he's alive. You know, I know that many faiths have songs that they sing, but my friends, there is no other faith other than those who follow Christ who can sing the song, I serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today. Every other religious leader is dead. There was a mighty display of God's power and love and authority that day that Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus teaches us in John chapter 16, verse 33, He tells us that in this world we're going to have trouble. He makes that promise. And I don't know about y'all, maybe you've had one of those weeks where if you were to describe trouble, you would capitalize every letter of the word. I don't know what kind of trouble it is for you. But we do face trouble. We face hardships. And let me tell you something, folks. It doesn't matter if the world throws the worst thing at you, death. Can I tell you something? Jesus overcame that too. So many times we try to live our lives in our own power. And we try to do our things in our own strength and do things in our own way. But that's not the way God intended for His children to live. God intended for His children to live in the power and authority of Almighty God and His power. And did you know that the same power that was displayed that day when Jesus rose from the grave is the same exact power that's at our disposal today as believers, to live in His power and to His glory. So it doesn't matter. We may think that we have the worst situation in our life that anyone could ever imagine, if we're in Christ, we have the power of God to face that. Now listen, following Jesus is not easy. In fact, if we're truly following Jesus, most times it may not be easy. But we can do it in His power. Following Jesus in our own strength will be difficult, but following in His power will strengthen us and encourage us. How do we do that? How do we live in the power of Almighty God? How do we do it? Well, surely you know, and maybe you don't. That it begins with knowing Jesus personally. God provides for us life and power and love through His Son Jesus. And maybe you've heard the passage before. If you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. If we know Jesus, we have life and power that comes from God. If we don't know Christ, then we're trying to live our lives on our own strength and our power. Let me tell you something. If we do that, I can't guarantee you a lot of things, but if we're trying to live our lives on our own power, our own strength, I can guarantee you that we will fail. We will. But I can tell you this. If we're in Christ, if we know Him personally, then we can live in the power of Almighty God. And no matter what this world throws at us, God may not deliver us from it, but He may sustain us through it. Either way, we have faith in God. We trust God during those times, and we bring God glory no matter what. But it begins with knowing Him. And I want you to ask yourself, be honest with yourself and be honest with God this morning. Do you really know Jesus personally? You may have a lot of knowledge of Him. You may have read your Bible. You may have been in church a lot. But do you truly know Him personally? Has there ever been a time in your life where you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you began that personal relationship with Him? Because see, God offers us salvation. See, our sin keeps us from a relationship with Him, but He has offered His Son Jesus to take the place of our sin. It's a gift of salvation He provides. And we can receive it or reject it. Have you ever received that gift? If you haven't, I want to encourage you today. In just a moment, we're going to stand back up and we're going to begin to sing. And I want you to respond to that. If God's calling on you to give your life to Him for the first time, you may be scared. You may be thinking, I don't want to get up in front of these people. But I want to encourage you, as we begin to sing in a moment, I'll be standing right here. Don't let my costume scare you away. But if you've got questions about that or you need to do that, just come talk to me. Let's pray about it. Let's see what God's doing in your life. There are many of us here that have done that. We've given our life to Jesus Christ at some point in the past. But we continue at times. We revert back to the old selfish ways of trying to live our lives for ourselves. And we keep wondering why we keep tripping up. And why we continue to be unfulfilled. Maybe for you this morning, and I have to do this myself sometimes. I have to reconnect with my Savior. I have to just kind of recommit myself to Him, because sometimes we're all this way. We're guilty of moving ahead of God and doing things on our own, and we have to sort of stop and realize that, you know what, I need to get back. I need to get plugged in again with my Savior, because I've been trying to live in my own power. I need to do it His way. So maybe you need to do that this morning. I don't know what God's calling you to do this morning. Maybe for you, it's that it's time to plant your life in the life of this church. You realize that you need God, but you also realize that you need others who are also seeking to follow the Lord. So maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe God's calling on you is something special or different than maybe what I've said. Maybe He's calling you to something greater than what you are. Maybe some sort of ministry. But whatever that might be this morning, in just a moment when we stand and we sing, I just want to urge you, respond to God's Word this morning. Respond to His power. And remember that we follow a Savior and a Lord that is not dead, but that is alive. And folks, that simple fact should change everything about us, should change all of our motives, all of our thoughts, all of our cares, all of our worries, knowing that simple fact that our Savior is alive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are alive. God, You have displayed Your sovereign will, authority, and power, and Your majesty by sending Your Son to die for our sins. But Father, You didn't leave Him dead. You rose Him from the grave. And to that, Lord, we give You all praise and honor. And Father, may we realize that we can live in that same power. And I pray that we'll not be scared of that. We can trust You. We can trust You for our salvation in sending Your Son to die for our sins. And we can trust You today in empowering us and equipping us to live for You and to Your glory. Lord, I pray that if You're dealing with someone this morning, and I know You're dealing with all of us, we all must respond to Your Word. But there may be a child, there may be one of our youth, one of the adults, and You're dealing with them right now. They may be scared or fearful of what following You might entail. But God, I pray that You would help them to see that they need You and they need to give their life to You. God, we love You and thank You. And I pray if anyone needs to respond this morning, they would not hesitate, that they would follow Your leading. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.